the series finale of The Clone Wars, or at least on television, from what I'm getting.
I mean, I'd be happy to just... The only thing I'll say is I don't think I was quite as in love with it as other people were.
you kind of mentioned that. Was it a continuity Barriss thing, which I was only just recently hearing about it, or was it something else?
I mean, Barriss was a big part of it, and not only the... I think the continuity I can deal with just because we've been desensitized to that, and I've never read the MedStar books anyways, so
either.
Kind of am not... I don't like when they do it, but I'm kind of over that part of it. But it still just didn't seem in... I don't know. It was so abrupt and so out of character, and I don't know. It was like... Well, we need to make it someone. Let's just make it Barriss. And there was no foreshadowing. No, I don't know. I just didn't like it at all.
It's hilarious that you say that, Mitchell, because, I mean, I really liked it, but that you're actually... What you're guessing is actual fact. I have some audio from the Q&A they did from the screening when Dave Filoni's talking about the episodes.
Right.
It's from Brian Young and his gang. I think they just put it up on a podcast, too. But it's just audio of the Q&A where Dave Filoni pretty much does say... They wanted to do that storyline began with doing a CSI type mystery episode, which is what the first two episodes were. And then I kind of was, I mean, I'm piecing together information, but it sounds like it came along and they're like, oh crap, this might be the last thing. Let's merge a storyline that we had for Ahsoka further on, and it's going to finish out the arc, which is why I like the last two episodes a lot more than the first two episodes of the arc. But that's just me. Mitchell, you're a writer. Right away, right to your heart's content. The only thing is, if you have some positive, and positive doesn't mean you have to be. We've said it before as writers, we like to stay positive, but that doesn't mean you can't point out, genuine fallacies or what might have made a better episode. And I think there was a lot when you're talking about 5 years of canon within the Clone Wars.
Right.
When you're talking about something as significant as Ahsoka leaving, I thought it deserved more. Well, it deserved less fluff from the first two episodes.
Right. Yeah, but that's isn't that kind of how they all are? All the arcs. They don't start their arcs very well. I think is kind of a Clone Wars thing.
Yeah, and I think like if we had some really genuine, deep building character development with Barriss Offee, you know, I wouldn't have cared about the MedStar books, even if I had read them, because it would have made sense for the story. But they did not have a Jedi that they could use other than Barriss Offee and Yaddle. You think I'm joking? But it was actually considered.
I think I read something about that. Yeah. I mean, the other thing is just in general, you know, when you just look at the original trilogy in a vacuum, right, just by itself, it's this, like, really big deal that Darth Vader used to be a Jedi and then turned bad. You know, it's like this big deal. You can't believe that this guy used to be a Jedi and turned out to be a bad guy. And then they do the prequels, and Dooku's another one. Okay, fine. So maybe there's two. Maybe we connect that, you know, Palpatine is just such a mastermind that he can turn two Jedi over. It's still going to be a big deal, you know? And then you learn that there's 20. Okay, fine. In the entire history of the Jedi Order, it's 20. And now just in the Clone Wars, we've seen Krell and now Barriss. And it's, I don't know, it's just tough for me to think that so many Jedi turn. And I don't know.
Well, and I think what they're trying to portray would make more sense if they really gave us a better sense of how far the Jedi Order as an organization has fallen from its original ideals. And in a lot of ways, I sympathize with Barriss's speech.
Right.
Episode where she says, "We've fallen from the light." Internet, make sure nothing's... All right, hang on. I'm adjusting some settings, closing some other internet. I'm on Wi-Fi right now. All right, is that better?
Yeah.
It'll probably just vacillate, honestly. Anyway, I think the weight of this episode would be greater if we had spent more time away from characters like Colonel Gascon and more time developing characters like Barriss. There. That's what I was trying to say.
I mean, and the Ahsoka story is great.
Yes.
Perfect. Every note was hit perfectly from beginning to end, even in the slower kind of first, episode. you know, Ahsoka's story is great. Anakin's story is great. The Jedi Council kind of, even though we don't like what they did, it was well done showing what they did. But that Barriss part is just kills me.
And there's so little time spent with the character of Barriss is that it's really out of the blue.
Right. And it's also, it wasn't even like a big surprise because it was kind of obvious from the beginning that that's where they were going. So it was both out of nowhere and predictable at the same time, kind of, you know?
Same. Huh. Interesting. What did you think, Aaron?
I really liked it.
Best episode of the Clone Wars ever is the point that I'm talking about, the last one. I think it's weird because I ended the episode feeling ticked off if they don't do anymore. Because I'm like, this is what we wanted! Oh! Which I think is a sentiment from the past three seasons especially. But when you get this, the lighting, the characterization, I mean, it's the best stuff that Filoni and crew have ever done.
Yeah. I think I definitely share some of Mitchell's thoughts as far as Barriss Offee and how quickly it was. But, you know, it was kind of obvious that they... Like you said, Riley, you know, they kind of admitted they kind of threw her in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just gave them a mulligan on that. But yeah. I did read the MedStar novels, and I wish that they had used a different character other than her, because it doesn't necessarily fit her character as we've, you know, come to know her in the expanded universe.
I think it would have been more significant if they had used, say, C-10 or Kit Fisto or something. I mean, that would probably get into more continuity kerfuffle because...
Well, those characters are seen on screen as Jedi in Episode 3, so you wouldn't be able to do that. But they could have used, like, Eeth Koth. They definitely could have used him because...
And they have the model for him, too.
Yeah, and they even had him in the background of some of the shots. And I even thought he would make more sense as a character that would turn.
Yeah.
Plus, it wouldn't really mess with... continuity that much because
Jedi in the Republic, I believe it was the no it wasn't Republic yeah the Republic comics, and he was the master of, I can't believe I blanked on his name, he was the master of Aayla Secura and you know yellow band across his face.
Oh, Quinlan Vos.
Q. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, if they had used Quinlan Vos, that would have ticked off the fans even more, I think.
Yeah, he's a big favorite.
He's such a huge, like, favorite hero. If they had turned him into a villain, people would have been up in arms at the level of...
Wasn't there,
you know,
a storyline where he abandons the Jedi Order?
He does, but not in the way that Barriss does. He doesn't turn on them or doesn't, like, you know...
Just leaves.
Yeah, he kind of just...
Murder leaves. People. Yeah.
And they thought he had died during Order 66, so he's kind of... He's still out there. Like, we don't know what his eventual fate is.
Mm. I think as a character, from what I know about him, because I did read some of the Republic comics, and that was one years ago, but that was one that stuck with me, was the storyline where, anyway.
Yeah, he did kind of go dark for a little bit, because he was trying to do the whole, well, I'll defeat him from within, so I'll pretend that I turned dark, but then he actually did turn dark for a little while.
I see.
But... Yeah, but then he eventually came back to the light and redeemed himself. So,
I really like. The possibility that they don't do any release of season 6 is out there. But
so, what's your info on that? Because you said you don't think there'll be any more on TV. Is that like, or is there more rumblings about that? Because I hadn't really heard anything.
Just heard about an hour ago, and this is from audio from the Full of Sith podcast they released today. They've had very scratchy, poor cell phone audio of the Q&As, and at one point, Pablo Hidalgo introduces the Q&A saying, two quick things. One, we're not going to talk about Episode 7 or Disney. Two, during the Q&A, we're only here to talk Clone Wars, and a lot of you have questions about the future of the show. We do know that that's in flux. We can't address anything about that. We're hoping to have information on the release... form. He didn't say release. We're hoping to have to paraphrase. We're hoping to have more information on the future release of season 6 and beyond very soon, which is different than the rhetoric I've heard before, which is just silence. So, and that's a personal audio talking to the crowd there. He didn't know he was mic'd, although I'm sure he could expect to be. It's not like it was secret, but so I get the idea that they are pursuing avenues of release, but I mean, what is it, March 3rd? About a week or two from now, we'll know whether or not it's on television. Because if Disney picks it up, I don't think anyone else is going to pick it up.
That's crazy. That'll be crazy if it ends the way it did. I mean,
it would be an online release, probably, I'm guessing. Or just as direct to Blu-ray.
Yeah. I hope there's some sort of release.
And they are getting ready. They've already pretty much wrapped up season 6 and are getting ready to do all the pre-productions already been done on season 7 stories. So
pretty much they have season 6 in the can, yeah. Like even animation-wise?
Probably like little tweaks and maybe some ADR or something, but yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that'll definitely come out.
I mean, unless Disney just literally prohibits it, because they own it now at this point. And it's a big unknown at this point, because I have no idea. I mean,
if the work's already done,
I know, I think it would be.
You got to at least try to make some of your money back. So you would think that would go to Blu-ray, at least.
That Disney has the money to where they can eat that. If a guy sits in the marketing meeting and tells Bob Iger, well, you know, as a marketing guy, you don't want other Star Wars on screen between now. You want the hype to build. You want to create a kind of clean slate so that the anticipation, create a drought of Star Wars before the movie. And that is a marketing technique that I could see them possibly using.
Yeah, I think, I haven't been too vocal about it lately, just because I don't want to get like the backlash of people saying, "Oh, you're such a hater." But like this whole Disney buyout so far, I mean, I know it's gonna, in the end, it's gonna be great because we get new movies. But for anything beyond the movies, it has not been good at all, because you know, 1313 pretty much got canceled. The 3D releases got canceled. Clone Wars may have gotten canceled. It's like everything is.
I've been silent so far on the podcast. This is kind of my three strikes if it's if Disney leaves it and it goes straight to DVD. Even if it goes on DVD, I would still be very disappointed, because this deserves, especially if they continue on in the vein. Of course, I say this every season, but if they continue on the vein of the last half of season 6, then that really deserves to be on television.
Yeah, and it's scary to think, like, I guess because now Disney is such a big corporation, and how Star Wars is now just a small part of a large corporation, whereas before Star Wars used to be the only thing that Lucasfilm really focused on. So it was kind of their bread and butter. But with Disney, it's not. So Disney can survive without Star Wars.
Yes, they can.
Lucasfilm could not survive without Star Wars.
Yeah,
so now it's like,
pay $4 billion to not take advantage of it, you know?
They paid $4
billion. I agree, but just because they want to make money, and I don't know. Like for me, I think it could show up in the quality of things that come out in the future if it's more focused about making money and not necessarily the heart of what Star Wars has been over the past 30 years.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, it sounds like, you know, we've got 3 movies coming, then they have all these spinoffs, and they're talking about, it's almost like oversaturation of the market, and you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I would pay a lot of money to be a fly on the wall of some of these corporate meetings that have got to be happening right now.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, I still have a pretty optimistic view of it. I think right now, they almost have to oversaturate it, but not bring everything to fruition. You know, you've got this big new thing. You got to throw a lot of things at the wall, see what the fans are excited about, see what they're not excited about. You know, I'm, you know, to the point that I'm excited for anything Star Wars, I'm excited about the character-specific movies. But I can't say that that's something that has me head over heels, especially since they announced, or since at least the rumors make it seem like it's going to be, you know, young Han Solo and Boba Fett maybe. Like, I would certainly go see them. There's no question. I'd go see them opening night, and I'll be very excited to go see them opening night. But in a list of, you know, here are the things I wish Disney would do with Star Wars, that's nowhere near. It's probably not even on my list, much less near the top of my list, you know? So I think right now they have to kind of announce a lot of things, see what people like, and I think we need to be ready for some of those things to not come to fruition. But, you know, again, a year ago, we weren't getting any movies, you know? So, I don't know.
But we had Clone Wars and comics and books and video games and all this other stuff that now may go away because of the movies, which I'm not saying I'd rather have that than movies, because I love the movies, but I don't want the movies to come and everything else to fade away.
I can't really, I mean, until we hear that that's happening, I'm not going to feel...
It's just going to be different. If there will be the future releases of the expansion will be very closely tied with the future films. No doubt.
Yeah.
You guys remember, and I this afternoon I was pulling together some audio for...
Come on, Master. It doesn't sound that hard.
I was pulling together some audio, if that was not me, by the way. I was not that good of an impressionist. I was pulling together some audio for this week's Star Wars Report episode, which I'm sure you guys can guess the subject of. And I pulled this clip. I wanted to see if you guys remember this.
I'll find Rex and get the troops organized.
Don't worry, Anakin. Just teach her everything I taught you and she'll turn out fine. You know, something makes me think this was your idea from the start. Let's just hope Anakin is ready for this responsibility.
Ready he is. To teach an apprentice. To let go of his pupil. A greater challenge it will be. Master this. Skywalker mess.
Alright.
Nice. Good clip.
Yeah. I thought I would go back to the old movie for that.
I haven't seen that movie since its release. I went and saw it opening night, and I haven't seen it since.
Oh, really?
Yeah, same here.
Wow. So I've seen it two times. I want to say three times. All of the months after it was released, I never saw it in theaters.
No, you know what I'd really like to see is some of these story arcs that they've had, like the Darth Maul arc at the end of the season and the Ahsoka arc, like... I wish they would release them as like one-off DVDs or Blu-rays.
General Krell arc.
Yeah.
Like they've done with the screenings, they do these special edits. Again, Brian Young was describing them to me, where they edit, you know, four episodes together like an hour, 20-minute film, like a very short theatrical release. And they actually, on this most recent arc, they started it with the actual traditional Star Wars theme and crawl.
Yeah, because I think they would work great as animated films. And sometimes, like, if I want to watch a storyline, you know, I have to pull up my iTunes and play an episode, and then when it ends, I have to back out and play the second episode. It'd be nice to just, you know, throw in a Blu-ray or just start playing it and just be able to watch it all the way through as one long story.
Well, and I'm getting ready, hopefully next week or the week after, you know, watch some episodes with my family. My dad's on leave from Afghanistan right now, so I'd be interested to see... you know, he likes Star Wars, but he probably wouldn't like Clone Wars, except for some of the, you know, a handful of the good, really good arcs. And I was thinking, watching the good arcs, and then I thought to myself, you know what I should do? Just pull up, you know, iMovie or Windows Movie Maker, throw, you know, DRM-free copy from iTunes or surreptitiously download one since I own them anyway, and just string them together without the narration at the beginning.
You can make the Riley edit.
Yes.
Can you cut out Gascon in that, and then I'll watch it?
I could do that, but I think it would be worse because it would be then you're left with the stupid droid.
take him out too. Just leave the Astromex, and it'll be fine.
The droid is a lot better than Gascon, I gotta say.
Yeah. Well,
and funny enough, there was a talking pit droid in the latest Star Wars novel.
Really?
The Last Jedi. And I was like, seriously, like they didn't learn their lesson from Clone Wars, but I'm sure that was in, you know, well, they, I'm sure they didn't coordinate.
Well, yeah, watch. Go ahead.
I just finished Scoundrels. I really liked it. I know it got kind of lukewarm reception. I really liked Scoundrels.
Really? My review. I didn't, I don't share your opinion, but I think me and Mark both, I think, were kind of disappointed by it, but I know other people really liked it. I know Nathan liked it.
Yeah, I haven't listened to any of the podcasts on it yet because I just finished it and I didn't want to, you know, it's never fun to listen to the podcast first. I really liked it, though.
Yeah.
I think the main thing about it I didn't like is just the slow pace of it all the way up until the end. You know, it got really good at the end, but it was too long of a setup for me. That was just, and I don't know, like, I need more, I like the Jedi and the Force and that stuff, and it just, there was none of that in this book. So, Han Solo wasn't enough to carry it for me.
I'm sorry, sister.
Side note, score. By the way, one thing I never thought I would ever hear in a Clone Wars episode was this. Seeing the front of the Jedi Temple, which I remember from The Old Republic, and The Force Unleashed, I'm going crazy here, where it was so similarly modeled, and I guess Episode 3 we saw it as well.
That's what I was connected to.
Yeah.
The only other really iconic place we've seen this is when Anakin marches in with the 501st at his back. I mean.
Wow. And see, I guess this brought me back to watching the theatrical release. Those were actually four fairly solid episodes as far as the storyline goes, I think. Especially not nearly what a lot of the great arcs of the Clone Wars over the past couple seasons, but it's far better than a lot of the cheese that's been out in some of the first halves of these seasons.
What's better, the music?
No. Well, yeah, sorry. I'm not referencing the music in this case, although I realize I kind of brought that in context. No, I'm talking about just... In terms of the story, I really like the idea of the Hutts negotiating with the Jedi and the trade routes and the Clone Wars and the Battle of Teth and those things that are shown in the film. I actually thought were very solid compared to, you know, Colonel Gascon or, you know.
Yeah, I really like the movie. When I watched it in the theater, I really liked it, and I was surprised it got such bad reviews.
It was zero.
But
isn't this just kind of the story, right, of everything that is Star Wars? You know, you love everything about it, but there's always just one wrench in it for people, and just as nerds, we can't let go of those wrenches. You know, we just can't let go of the word poodoo, or we can't let go of, you know, Ewoks throwing sticks at stormtroopers. And you know, you either decide you're gonna love it anyways, which obviously all of us have, but there's a lot of people that just can't.
I like the main thing about the movie, I think, that stuck out that made it not as good for me, and I think what most people that are not Star Wars fans that watched it probably latched onto, was the animation just wasn't up to par with other animated movies that, you know, usually come into the theaters.
Especially there are two or three specific models. The Anakin Skywalker model from the movie in season one really was just not good at all.
And it's amazing, like, now if you look at the animation in the show now, it is on par. I wouldn't say it's quite up to like Pixar level, but it's close.
And considering how fast they have to produce those episodes, unlike Pixar, who works on the movie for 2 years,
right,
it's just amazing stuff considering the pace they
did. So I think if they had this level of animation back then in 2008 and had released a movie with that, then it would have been much received well. So unfortunately that wasn't the case, but I liked the story of the movie, and Zero didn't even bother me. I just saw him as a, you know, just another odd Star Wars character, but he was not as bad as Jar Jar.